All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We just released a new article on what to do when you don't have the grades to qualify or get into the school that you want. If it doesn't apply to you, share it with someone you know. Lots of good info in there. Check it out at the Recruiting Academy at verifiedathletics.com. Our audience continues to grow, so thank you guys so much for sharing what we're doing. This week, we have my good friend Shane Fogarty on the podcast. Shane is currently at Fordham University, where he serves as the assistant head coach, special teams coordinator, and running backs coach. But Shane has coached at several schools from FBS to Division III, and he was also a walk-on quarterback at UConn. We get into all of that and more. Enjoy. Shane, what's up? How's it going? What's new?
Nothing much. Doing well.
And so we're about to get into March. You're a Division I football coach. What is happening in your life?
So we currently just ended the recruiting cycle for the class of 2019. We had signing day. We're getting geared up for spring ball. And we've had one junior day where we had families and student athletes come on campus. And spring ball starts in a week. So we're ready to get back after it.
What's tell me what a junior day is like. You're at Fordham University in New York City, where we used to coach together. What's a junior day like for you guys?
So a junior day is essentially the first opportunity for you to get some of the top recruits and student athletes that you may or may not have had contact with through Twitter, through email, through text, to get them and their family up to campus for essentially their first visit. It's a lot of information. It's highly organized. You're trying to create some buzz. You're trying to get information about them and their family, and really just show Fordham in the most positive way you can for about 5 or 6 hours. It's nothing extensive, but at the same time, you're trying to present as much information as you can and show them really the highlights of your program.
Yeah, so I feel like a lot of juniors, in my opinion, probably juniors in high school are like overweighing the importance of these things or the invitations to these things and the importance of them. I feel like they're kind of like, as a coach, it always felt like, yeah, there were a couple guys there that we were pretty serious about recruiting, but for the most part, it was guys that were on the border or just anyone, because you can't really close off these events to be invite only. So I don't know, is that the feeling that you have, or do you think of it somehow, some other way?
I think if you set your staff parameters and you target the young men and the families that you want to get on campus, I think it really has changed, in my opinion, the last couple of years. People are moving at a quicker pace. They're trying to get on campus earlier. It's not like you're meeting the kid for the first time on a camp day. So it's a situation where they are overplaying or over hyping the visit, the invitation and things like that. But it is an important part, because you want to get the young man and his family, you want to get them on campus as many times as you can, so that they feel comfortable and you feel comfortable if it comes down to making that decision. Some junior days are, everybody. Essentially, you may have a spring practice and you say, anybody local, feel free to come over and check us out. And other junior days are, not that it's invite only, but you're reaching out to the head coach and you're explaining to him that it would be beneficial for a student athlete to come visit.
Right. Yeah. So it's like open to everyone, but you're trying to do what you can to try to shape it so the word only gets out to the people that you most want to be there.
Yeah, and there are student athletes that the coach, the high school coach, has reached out and said, hey, look, this is a kid that had a really successful junior season. He's already expressed interest in Fordham. Would you like him to get up to campus the first opportunity he can. And certainly in that situation, you're watching the film and evaluating and saying, yeah.
When did you guys start offering this class, like the juniors that are going to be, you know, they're in the spring of their junior year right now. When do you start offering those guys?
Some have had offers from last year's camp. They came as underclassmen last year. At this level, that is unlikely. But we had a few student athletes come with teammates, and they were, they were good. They're FBS players. And when they show up on your campus, that's your time to express your interest. So there are some that stemmed from last summer. There's some that picked up offers, or we extended an offer upon completing their junior year. And others, we essentially expressed our interest when they got on campus, sort of a size verification type model, and said, yeah, you know, we'd like to offer you.
I see. And guys on your roster getting recruited, or guys that you had committed getting recruited to play at a higher level at the last second, is that happening less, or is it just happening earlier and giving you more time to adjust?
I believe it's happening less because they don't have enough time to find the individuals. And, let's say they do feel good about it. They do feel good about a kid that is, verbally committed to your school. They're going to reach out to that. And then, like you said, it does allow for you more time before the second signing day. So, it happens. There's other institutions. The student athlete and the family feel that that's a better situation for them. That's their decision. They're allowed to make those decisions. But then it just allows for you as a program to find exactly the student athlete and family that you're looking for.
Yeah, they talking about poaching. I think you and I have a poaching story together. I don't know if you know what I'm going to talk about, but I remember that you were the special teams coordinator at the time. This is before you left to coach at UConn. And I was recruiting the Chicago area, and we were looking for a punter. And for the whole recruiting cycle, we were looking for someone that could both punt and kick, so we could take one scholarship and get one guy that could do both, or offer half a scholarship to a punter, half a scholarship to kicker. Do you remember that?
No, I certainly do.
And we just I felt like we had the perfect guy lined up the first recruiting weekend, and they turned us down. And then the next guy on the board, the next recruiting weekend, turned us down. Next guy on the next recruiting board, turned us down until we got to signing day, and we didn't have a punter or a kicker, and we had a scholarship left. And at the end of the day, we decided, when I remember, we had originally offered that half scholarship to a punter, Joe Pavlik, out of Mount Carmel, which is a good football program in Chicago. And he, got a better financial deal by going to an NAIA school. So he was all signed up, ready to go to St. Francis, which is a great NAIA program in the Chicago area. And he was all signed up with them. And because we could only offer him the half scholarship. And then after basically striking out over and over and over again, I remember I was on the road recruiting in the spring, and we desperately needed a punter to the point where we said, okay, we'll just go with one of our walk-on kickers and we'll offer a full scholarship to a punter. And I brought up Joey's name again, and you're like, yeah, let's do it. And we poached him from St. Francis. And if I remember correctly, I think the head coach from St. Francis called Coach Moorhead and chewed him out over the phone.
He definitely did, and he actually requested that we send him our list of the kids that we were still working on that didn't have a home. So Coach Moorhead made me send all of my recruiting info to that head coach, that he could find a replacement for Joey Pavlik.
Yeah, and Joey ended up being a pretty good player for us, a 4-year starter. He might have actually started, or I don't know what counts as being a starter as a punter, but started more games in Fordham football history, I think, than anyone, because of the playoff runs that we had while he was there. Which is a pretty cool thing. And he, And, you know, for him, like, I think that is like a weird position to be in as a coach is it is kind of like a douchey move, you know, to pull on like the other coach, especially like at that point, we're already in like April or May or whatever it was. And so he had the other coach was then left in a scramble that we just basically gave another coach the scramble that we created. But at the same time, like for Joey, like he got to go to the school that he really wanted to go to. He got to go on a full scholarship instead of, you know, his package that he had at the other school. So for him, it was such a great deal. And I think that's a difficult position to be in as a coach where you want to not screw over the other coach, but you also want to give the athlete the best thing for them.
The current athletic director here at Fordham says it all the time that it is about the student athlete. Everything that we're doing is about the student athlete. And in recruiting, that comes to fruition more often than not. You know, it's the family making whatever decision they feel based on their criteria. They're making that decision. And yes, it is a situation where if we're presenting the better option, then it's a positive for us. And it's a negative for that other institution. If it's on, you know, the other side of the coin where another school presents an opportunity and it's a plus for the family and they decide that, you know, it happens. It happens both ways.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you ever been on the other side of that equation.
Yes. Actually, in this recruiting cycle, for the first time ever, situation where a student athlete had said that he was, I mean, this, we're talking last minute, you know, said that he was going to commit and sign with us. And then the next day didn't sign with us.
Oh, so no.
it was an actual, you know, it was not a pull the hat, you know, on the table type pick between Alabama and Georgia. But it certainly was a last minute, you know, 10:30 at night conversations. Yes, everything's set. We're all squared away. You know, next morning, signing day, you know, radio silence and, you know, a lot of questioning, a lot of phone calls and a lot of questioning. So
do you think like the night before when you're having your 10:30 call, like you have everything set, ready to fax in or faxing is probably, they don't do that anymore on signing day, but you get the idea. And he's just probably having that conversation with you and with another coach.
Yes.
He's just afraid to tell you the truth, you think, or what happened there?
Well, I think, again, this is the first time it happened to me. It was one of those situations where I probably didn't know enough information coming in. I knew what I wanted to see, but I didn't see the things I didn't want to see. So it was one of those situations where you think everything's going fine. You're asking the tough questions, you're getting the answers. And for the kid, it was not deceitful. It was just, he didn't know, you know, there were other factors, parents, other people in the family. So it was a unique situation. It was a learning experience for me. I'll say that. But it was not a lose-lose situation for the young man.
Is this someone that you had been recruiting for a while? And what school did they ultimately end up going to? Was it a conference rival or anything?
It was not a conference rival, but it is a predominant program. I'd rather not say, but it is a predominant program. And, you know, I had been recruiting the young man for the entirety. So since I saw him at camp, I said to myself, this is a kid that would benefit from being at Fordham. This is a young man that probably is in, you know, athletic wise and skill wise in our wheelhouse and probably won't get anything above that. And personally, I liked him. You know, I thought he was great. Right mentality, things like that. So I wasn't pushing him on the staff and I wasn't saying that we had to be on, you know, on him the entire time, but I was recruiting him the whole time. So from middle of June until the night before.
Yeah, I actually like see that as at least the way how I thought you were describing it, is a dynamic that plays out a lot where as a recruiting coach that's recruiting an area, sometimes you recruit an athlete that you believe in, even if you realize that the state of the board of athletes that you're looking at that position is in a place where you know, you probably can't get them approved for an offer right away. And maybe that's not the situation you're describing, but still, I think, a relevant story. And so, you just believe that, like, things could shake out in a way where you could end up getting someone approved for an offer. So you just start recruiting them, even if you're not really letting other people on the staff know that you're recruiting them. It's not like something that's coming up in the staff meetings. And then all of a sudden, when the board starts to, like, look ripe, you bring the film back up again and you say, how about so-and-so? And then all of a sudden it's hot and you haven't, you know, you don't have to pick up like a cold call, you know, a cold call and like try to get back in the picture because you've just been there the whole way. Is that like what you're describing? Is that pretty typical? You find yourself in that position a lot?
That's definitely the situation. I mean, everybody on the staff knew about the kid and we had offered him. But there is, you know, there's always kids that you're going after a little bit more. So he was on the list. Everyone knew about him. It was like, hey, you know, how so and so. And it was always like, oh, he's doing good. You know, we'll see what happens in the end. You know, he doesn't know yet. And we're going through the process. But I certainly think I learned that early on in my career. It's all about timing with each individual student athlete in terms of them making the decision. But it's no different when you're in a full staff and, you know, you're in there watching film together, which is probably even more important when you start talking about timing aspects. You never want to be the guy that puts your guy up on the table for an offer when you just watched a kid that has 5 FBS offers and may never visit. You know, it's I learned that early on, is that timing is everything when you're talking about recruiting a young man and saying, okay, at this point, do we think that we should offer him?
Yeah, the that timing component, it reminds me, I was every year we played against this Holy Cross was in our conference and we played them every year and they had like the best quarterback in the conference, or at least one of them, for like 3 years in a row. And the quarterback came from my recruiting area. And so every year, like, we'd play him and, like, you know, he's lighting up all these other teams and, you know, we didn't recruit the quarterback and it was really a timing thing. That quarterback didn't really play his junior year. He was from Loyola Academy, which is like a state champion, like biggest division level type school in the Chicago area. And, you know, he wasn't really much of a player his junior year and he got on people's radars in the camp season and then played good his senior year. And that's how he ended up at Holy Cross. But before then, you know, we had mid spring of junior year, we had signed the one quarterback for our class who was a guy that ended up leaving school like after a year and was nobody for us. You know, we ended up being fine at the quarterback position anyway, but I remember how he's having, like, thinking about how much of that timing really mattered. I imagine at the time if we had offered him, you know, he would have probably come to us and that would have been a good fit and we would have been happy to have him, but it just didn't work out timing wise based on that athlete and our needs. But it worked out with him in another school and he had a great career there.
Certainly. I mean, I think it's a guy that I worked for. He used to say it's more about the ones you take than the ones you don't take. So it really comes down to, if you feel good about the people that you're recruiting in your program and bringing to the table in terms of offers and everything like that, then you're not worried about, you know, everybody else. But the timing component of it is huge. For everything, for the student athlete making a decision, for you as a program deciding on when to offer, and every kid's recruiting story is different. And that's sort of the thing, the conversation that I have with, you know, once I get on the phone with a young man, that's one of the things that I point out to them, you know, because everybody does get stuck on, I have this offer, I've been offered this, or I've been asked to come to this junior day, and these are my offers. And, you know, you look at it on Twitter and you're watching somebody else and you're saying, well, why not me? And a lot of guys have, you know, the chip on the shoulder, and then that's great. Use that as motivation. But at the same time, this is, you know, don't let that deter you from recruiting yourself to the school that you want to be at and the programs that you want to be recruited by.
And this is actually something I've been thinking a lot about, and I think a lot of athletes probably are doing the same, is what drives the decision between someone that should go play Division III or Division II or be a walk-on at a FBS school? Because, I mean, those experiences are radically different, well, at least as far as college football experiences can go. And what, I mean, you especially now that you have your vantage point as a coach who's coached all the way from Division III to the FBS level, what do you think of your decision? You know, what made it the right decision? What would make it the wrong decision for someone else?
I think the first thing you have to decide is what type of school you want to attend. So, you know, you always have to factor in, well, what if I can't play football, and start from there. And then you have to fill in whatever your criteria is for the school that you're looking at. Do you want a school in the middle of nowhere? Do you want a city school? Do you want a school with a lot of kids, with a little amount of kids? Do you want, you know, does that school have your particular major? You know, look at the academic side first, and the physical plant, and see if that fits your criteria, and then evaluate what you want to do athletics wise. Because again, you have to make the decision based on, you know, if football may not be there for me, something may happen. I may not be able to play football. So that's what I always recommend. And I deal with the same thing every single year, in terms of families deciding, well, this is a great opportunity at a Division III school, or, you know, these schools want to recruit me as a walk-on, at the FBS or FCS level. And I think it really comes down to, what do you want your experience to be? And the other part of it is, how much confidence do you have in yourself? You know, there's so many stories about guys that said, you know, I was under recruited. I took that chip on my shoulder and I went to the FBS school. I showed up. I told them I was going to walk on. I walked on. I earned a scholarship, and now I play in the NFL. You know, that's not every single story. It's a small number, but, you know, that's probably why they play in the NFL, because they decided that they were better than, you know, what they were and how they were being recruited. And so they worked at it and they worked hard at it. And you have those situations. You also have situations where a kid, you know, chooses to be a Division III football player, has a great experience, and absolutely dominates. You know, I worked at Trinity College, and there were a lot of guys that were being recruited like that and ended up choosing to go to Trinity, and they became All-Americans. I mean, they didn't just become the best players in the league. I mean, they became All-American Division III players because of them choosing what experience they wanted in both athletics and academics.
What would you want to tell someone that's choosing between, like, that's choosing whether or not they want to take on that walk-on experience, what they're in for?
What I always tell people is that in order for this experience to not be a negative experience the entire time, you have to go in with the assumption that you're paying your way the whole entire time. That way you don't look around. You're not looking around the room every single meeting, every single season saying, well, why am I not on scholarship? Why do I not get those things? Well, I'm better than that guy. Why don't I get, you know, you literally have to go in and say, okay, I'm going to work. I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to be the best student athlete that I can in this program for myself and for the team. Because I've seen it happen the other way, and then you know, parents get involved, and why, you know, you feel like you're being shortchanged the entire time. Whereas if you go in with the approach of, you know what, if the head coach thinks that I deserve a scholarship and I get that scholarship, then it'll be a benefit. And I'm going to work, because that would be my advice. And I use that advice. I tell young men often and their parents, I mean, that's what you have to do. And based on my own personal experience and based on the experience of some of the teammates and some of the young athletes, the student athletes that I've worked with.
Yeah, that's interesting. And did you end up earning a scholarship or were you not, did you not do that?
No, I didn't. My roommate did. There are actually two or three guys did during my time at UConn. So,
although the head coach that you played for eventually hired you, so he did pay you eventually.
Yes, yeah, yes, yes. He hired me to make scouting reports and to do a breakfast check and to break down film. So yes, that was.
Hey, it's not nothing.
No, it's certainly not. It's certainly not.
Well, that's really cool. And you know, being in end of February, almost March. For the class of 2020, so like a year away from signing day, basically, you know, as an FCS coach, how many guys do you think are, like, for you personally, are you recruiting right now? And then how would that number be different if you were at UConn?
Well, you always focused in on a certain number of kids. I mean, that you sort of from the get-go said, okay, this kid can or cannot play here at Fordham. I try to recruit everybody. And I guess when you also have to define what does it mean to recruit, you know what I mean? I'm not going to, as long as there's mutual interest, I am not going to tell a kid that we are not going to recruit him until late in the process. Because I don't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know what's going to happen. Things can change, and do. So there is a lot of flexibility, you know, flat out. If I don't think there's ever any opportunity that we would take him at, you know, at Fordham, then I let him know, meaning, you know, your grades are just not good enough. You know, you didn't get the recommendation of your high school coach, based on character issues. Like those are the only two things that would deter me from recruiting somebody. You know, in some capacity. That may not be, you know, I may be recruiting you because I think you'd be a great scholarship player. I may be recruiting you because I think you'd be a great walk-on candidate. You know, I may be recruiting you because, you know, I want to see you come. I want to get you to campus because you know, I've never seen you. And I think that you would benefit from coming to visit campus and going through our camp. So I think there's different levels of that when you talk about recruiting, but you know, now I can't even tell you how many kids I have on our database already. I mean, it's probably close to my areas are, you know, seven counties in central New Jersey and Northeast PA. So I have, you know, a good chunk of area, and I probably have between 300 and 400 student athletes that have at least expressed an interest in Fordham. So, I mean, from that, I don't know how many, you know, will get to camp and then how many will offer and then how many will visit and then how many will commit. You know, that's a funnel, you know, but at this point I'm, you know, and I haven't even worked through all the lists. But I would say between 300 and 400 student athletes. Whereas, you know, if you're at a school in the American Athletic Conference, you're probably right now, probably between 50 and 75. If you have the same area, maybe less.
And in both places, really your goal is to end up with two or three, you know, like that's,
yeah,
it's still,
yeah,
like a huge funnel down. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it's just the way that you're phrasing it, but it sounds like absurd to me the way that you're saying it. That, like, to me, I would, out of every 10 films I would watch, like only one of them would get like moved over onto a list where I'm like, oh, I'm going to like stay in touch with this guy over the next year kind of thing. Not that like I wouldn't like ever talk to him if they gave me a call or if they shot me a message, but I guess I just like, I had to divide my time. I had to like figure out who it was that I was going to call on a weekly basis. I had to figure out who I was going to send handwritten notes to. I had to figure out who I was going to send messages to on Facebook or Twitter or whatever it was. And realistically, I just wasn't going to do that with 400 guys. And so like, that's why that sounds crazy to me, but maybe you're thinking of it differently or you recruit differently. And if that's true, like, I definitely want to hear what that's all about.
Well, yeah, that's why I said you almost have to define what it means to, you know, what it means to be recruited. No, I'm not calling all 400 kids. But I will crank out, you know, 50 DMs a day, you know, for a week, and just cycle through those kids. It is ridiculous to think about. Because there are so many variables at this point and this early, yes, I can highlight the student athletes that I think would be great here. But again, it's about mutual interest. They may have no interest, or they may just not, you know, they may not know enough about Fordham. So, you know, if I email a kid, if I call a kid, you know, if the kid calls me, if the kid texts me, if the high school coach reaches out to me, you know, if I have him fill out a questionnaire, or invite to junior, all of those things to me are being recruited. And I treat it, you know, I did spend 5 years, at a Division III schools. And you're never done recruiting there. So that's probably why I also have that kind of approach, is because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to just say, okay, you know, I'm only going to focus on these top kids. Because, you know, hey, you and I both worked for a guy that said the twos are the list. You know, it's yes, you have your ones. But, you know, what's their interest level? Like, make sure you're recruiting the twos and the threes throughout the process, so that you're not making those cold calls in December. That kid does get recruited throughout the year. But you're right. At some point, you do have to formulate your time and figure out what's going to work best for you. Yeah, and it's not that throughout that whole entire process I'm recruiting 400 kids. That's certainly not the case.
Well, that's great. Thanks so much for coming on and sharing your knowledge and your wisdom and your experience. You know, the only other thing I usually ask guys before they leave is, you got the ear of lots of high school athletes and their coaches. What advice do you want to give them?
I would say the same thing I say to every recruit that I speak with. I say it's my job to recruit you. It's my job to provide you information about the school, the program. But at the end of the day, it's your job to recruit the schools that you're most interested in. So, you know, there's no coach in the country that is ever going to say, stop emailing me, stop calling me, stop reaching out. You know, so as a student athlete, that's your job. That's what your focus should be on, finding the best opportunity and situation for yourself and for your family.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Shane. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Nate.
It was good catching up with Shane, but that was a reminder of how hard it is to get current college coaches to open up about the recruiting process. As a coach, you are in the information gathering business, not the information giving business. And college sports are competitive. They're a place where nobody wants to give up an edge. But thanks for joining me on my journey to try to crack that nut and get a diverse set of college coaches' perspectives out there. And as always, if you're enjoying the podcast or articles on the Recruiting Academy, please share it. See you next time.